What's going on, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Strain Forward Podcast. Today, we have a guest, none other than Mr. Jansen Raymond. I'm saying that correct, right? Do they ever say this to you when they say your last name, they think about everybody?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think about that every time, dude. So he's going to break down for you guys what it's looked like for him to train for, and now he's training for a triathlon. He's training for a high rocks competition. He's gotten into CrossFit a little bit. He has a coach. He's balancing a very serious job where he gets to travel all across the country and do sorts of like really fun things and help young kids. So like, this is going to be a really good podcast for you guys. I'm excited for what you're going to take away from it. So without a further ado, Jansen, tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you've gotten into this part of your fitness journey. Because I know you before you were super fit.
Yeah.
And now you're like crushing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, it's been fun. It's been a fun journey. For me, I grew up with a dad as a high school basketball coach. And so the goal was to be a Division I athlete. And so for me, I've always been a big pitcher. Now let's work backwards. And so like starting eighth grade, ninth grade, the goal big pitcher was being a Division I athlete. And then it was, how can I be the best eighth grader today? So my mindset's always been in the journey, not so much the destination, even though that's fun and important. So grew up in a gym, grew up loving fitness, loving what it could do for me. Ultimately, got to my senior year, ultimately got a chance to play Division I basketball, did that. And then once I took a job in the real world, fitness was no longer a priority. I thought I was always going to stay in shape. I thought I was always going to stay lean. And that's just not the case. Got to a point in my life where I was the heaviest I'd ever been, most out of shape I'd ever been. And I'd moved around a lot with my jobs, different jobs. I moved out to Oregon, worked for Nike at their headquarters, and just prioritized my career over health, wellness, and fitness. And so, got a chance to come back to where I'm from, South Carolina, Greenville, the upstate of South Carolina, and was just begging for community, begging for a sense of purpose. Almost you get caught in this rat race of trying to get promoted or the next job or the next activity. And I think so much of this gets lost in how much we need community. My parents were a great example. They were empty nesters. They needed to do something together. They went to a CrossFit gym. And they fell in love with their community there. And so they just kept hounding me to join a gym. And so I did like the Planet Fitnesses, the whatever. And it was like, for me coming from an athletic background, I wanted to suffer with people, right? If I was going to get back into working out, I wanted to do it with a group. And so I joined my gym, and I was hesitant, right? Like my saying was I was going to get in shape and then join. I was going to get in shape and then join. And it just never works out, right? So ultimately went, paid 6 months, and I was like, hey, this is a lot out of pocket. We're going, right? We're going to get our money's worth. And, bro, I got crushed. Like there was old ladies passing me in workouts. I was last. I was the person that everybody was clapping for, like, hey, just finish. And with that, this need for community, it bled over to falling in love with fitness. And so now it's taking an own journey, and we can get into that later, but my fitness journey has now taken a life of its own just for this need of community. And so for now, right now, I love where I'm at, and love what's on the horizon, and we can get into that. But that's a little bit about me. It's long winded. But hopefully that makes sense and it kind of catches people up to where I'm at.
Yeah. So tell me what it was like when you kind of alluded to this, but like when you got back into shape, when you started getting back into shape, you said you went to the gym. Well, let me turn the audio down real quick. Make sure it's good. There we go. You said you got back into the gym and you're getting smoked by the older ladies in the gym, people who've been doing it for a while. So, like, walk me through that process. Like, what did it? Because look, it's happened to me too, and it happened to me at semifinals where like I'm the last one finishing the event. And granted, it's semifinals, and everyone's like, "Oh wow, it's so good," but like, it's awful when you're coming in last place and people are clapping for you for just cheering.
Yeah,
like just cheering you for finishing. Yeah. And you're like, please stop.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, what did it feel like, man? Where did you find the encouragement to just keep going?
The community, the people. I didn't know what I was doing at first. I knew that I wanted to lose the weight that I had accumulated. And it wasn't a ton, but it was probably 30, 35 pounds I didn't want to be. And the community just kept bringing me in and kept encouraging me. And it was never this, isolating feeling. It was always a family. And so I just kept showing up. And I would do, when I first started, man, I would, I didn't eat properly. I knew nothing about nutrition. In college, they just told you to eat, right? And they would give me, we had a meal plan, but like, we never talked about the importance of nutrition. It was just kind of handed to us. So for me, I went down to one meal a day. I was like, I'm just not going to eat myself, or I'm just not going to eat. I'm going to go. I signed up for the five, did the 5 to 6 class. And then I would do the 6 to 7 class at the CrossFit gym, do the exact same workout. And people were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to get in shape. I have this big picture idea of what my life to look like, what my goals are. And now we're just going to work backwards and we're going to find joy in the grind. But I was doing it wrong, right? I wasn't taking rest days. I wasn't fueling properly. And I was overworking a lot of my muscle, especially if you do the same CrossFit workout twice. You're just, at some point, you have diminished returns, right? And you're overworking muscle groups that were meant to be hit once or once during a WOD, and now I'm doing it twice. And so I had a lot of people at the gym pour into me who were either coaches, nutrition coaches, and were just sat me down. And I'm like, Jansen, like, you're here all the time. What's your why? What are you doing this for? And for the first 5 or 6 months, it was just to get back in shape. The goals came later of, hey, I want to run a sub XYZ marathon. I want to do a Hyrox. I want to do an Ironman, whatever. But people poured into me. And there was a guy by the name of Andy who was kind of in the same situation, who let his life circumstances get away from him, kind of got big, and then dialed in nutrition and changed his life. And so I leaned on him a lot and just asked him questions. And he really did a good job of pouring into me of, hey, let's talk about your nutrition. And I would go home, research it, come back with questions. Is paleo diet, should I get rid of bread? Are carbs bad? And it was just this community of people loving on me and wanting the best for essentially a stranger for the first 6-7 months that I was there. And it turned into a family. And so, that would be it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. So when you started diving into nutrition, what did you find out? Like, what was a big revelation you found? Like, was it the fact that carbs aren't bad and that you can eat them? Like, you can have some bread from time to time. Like, what was it for you that was a huge revelation?
It was the fact that your body needs the fuel, right? And then for me, CrossFit was great. I kind of honed into the longer duration workouts. So carbs are obviously going to be my best friend during that. Didn't understand that. Understood that, hey, protein is going to be your best friend during this process, eating your body weight or your ideal body weight in protein every day. I never got a nutrition coach because I found out if I learned this information on my own or got help, I could fill in the nuts and bolts of it. And so I had a lot of help. I took a lot of classes online and just found out ultimately food is your friend. I had a bad relationship with food. When I made this decision, I'm like, I'm not eating anymore. I'm not going to do da da da. It's like, that's not the goal. Food, the right food is fuel, and eating more of the right food is how you're going to look how you want to look, right? Or the goals that you have, that's how you're going to accomplish it. And then it goes into what you're eating during a workout. For me, making sure that I have carbs during a workout, whether that's in a water bottle or quick applesauce on the go. And ultimately found out that food is fuel. Food is going to be your best friend during this, but it's the right size. And I guess the best way to put it is the quantity of food is going to be how you look, I guess. And the quality is going to be how you feel. And so making sure that the quality and quantity both align to your goals. And then just dial it in the macros and get an idea of what my body needs. And like I said, I don't have a nutrition coach, but I've had nutrition coaches help this process and for me to figure it out. And to where every day right now for me, and this might not work for everybody, I eat the same stuff every day. I'm going to have the same thing because I know what's in it, right? I'm not weighing out all my food. I did that at one point, but health is supposed to be longevity. And I didn't see longevity, me weighing out everything for the rest of my life. I wanted to get a general idea. And now I know what I can eat and can't eat. But wanted to make sure this lifestyle, it was a lifestyle change and things that I can replicate for the rest of my life. And I didn't think weighing my food was going to be something I was going to do when I was 40. So I got an idea and then now have a general idea of how much macros are in just about everything that I want to eat.
Yeah, so many people get really stressed out with having to eat foods or like having to track their foods that often because it is really daunting.
It is.
You got a scale with you.
Yeah.
And then if you go out to eat, it's like, okay, well, how do I
right.
track this? It can be really, it's definitely great for a time
totally,
period.
Totally.
I think necessary. You got to kind of go through that grind. Yep. But then you do get to a place where you're like, okay, I can pretty much eyeball everything.
Yep.
And I figured out how I feel when I'm eating correctly. So now I can pretty much assess when I'm underfueled and you know what to go to. You kind of learn this process. Like now I don't track my food. I don't weigh anything. And I know when I'm underfueling or overfueling, what to eat, how, like you just learn.
Totally. Yep.
What are your macros? Like what were you trying to hit when you were tracking? What are you hitting now?
So
over 200 grams of protein.
Yeah. So I'm at 200 pounds, right at 198. So 200 grams of protein daily. My carbs kind of have gone up, started at a lower number. I'm now at like 450 to 500 just because again, a lot of my days in the gym are a lot of hours just because of the duration of the workout. I don't think that's right for everybody. And then fats, I just kind of, I keep it to a low number. Fats are good for you. And so I don't really track the fats, but my main goal is, am I getting my protein and my carbs in? And then obviously staying away from fried food, making sure that they're one ingredient foods that I eat. Actually the hardest part, during all of this is just like the chewing of it. So I just recently switched, to blending. I'll blend my chicken and rice. I know. No comments, all right, please.
You can't, we're not going to glaze over that. You're blending your chicken and rice.
I don't enjoy eating, right? Sitting down at a restaurant, food has never been an enjoyment at any point in my life. And so it's just been more of a necessity. And so I know what I need to eat. And so for me, two breasts of chicken, rice for lunch, and then my second lunch, and then also my dinner. And I was just tired of chewing it. And so now for lunch, I'll throw in chicken, rice in a blender. I'll mix it with bone broth. And so it's like mashed potatoes almost. And just now I can eat it at my desk. And instead of it being an hour lunch or 45-minute lunch of sitting there eating, cutting it up, eating it, throw it in the blender, and I'll have it right here at my desk and just eat mashed potatoes. And it's great. It's great. Dude, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. But again, right. I don't love food, and there are people out there that love food, and people enjoy their food. And I just it's never been that way. It's always been a hassle for me to eat.
Yeah. Well, so I definitely relate to that. And if you see me looking down, I'm looking down at the audio just to make sure I'm not like going over this certain whatever volume. It's funny to hear you say that, dude, because I definitely relate. Like, I like food. Don't get me wrong. Especially breakfast.
Yeah.
I love sitting down. Breakfast, but people will make fun of me because I'll cook up like chicken breasts or chicken breast tenders, you know what I mean? No seasoning, nothing.
Yep.
And I'll put it in Tupperware, and I'll bring it with me to work right now at the restaurant, and I'll just pull out of it and just eat chicken as I'm walking and going. And like, do you not want to have, and like, I don't really care about the flavor, I just want the nutrients.
Absolutely. It's same concept.
That being said, I have not ventured into blend. You might be taking it to a whole nother level, which is, I think it's so cool. So you blend it with bone broth.
Yeah. So that
and I
tried it with a lot. So again, this has been a lot of trial and error. I did milk, water, the best, and I enjoy bone broth. I'll drink bone broth by itself, just for nutrition value. And I ended up enjoying it. I love taking my drink of bone broth. So I was like, let me just try bone broth. And right now it literally tastes like mashed potato bone broth. And so I enjoy the taste. Milk was terrible. Milk came out as thick as you can imagine because it was obviously it was whole milk. Water just wasn't great, didn't taste great, and it was nasty, right? But ultimately now it's gotten to a point where I'm tricking myself and saying, hey, this is mashed potato bone broth, and it's been great, and it's what works for me. And what you're going to find out, and obviously you know as a coach who leads thousands of people right now, it's what works for you is what you're going to do. And for me, I got to the point where I wasn't looking forward to when the clock hit like 12 or the clock hit like 3. And I know I needed to go eat my chicken and rice, and it works, right? And ultimately that's all that matters. And it could be weird, but I was tired of chewing. I was tired of not looking forward to it. Obviously I'll switch the sauces to trick my brain, but like this has been, it's been a revelation for me, and it's been great.
Dude, I'm kind of tempted to try this.
Go for it. Yeah. Bone broth.
Really good to try.
It is good. I do everything hot too. So I'll put my rice, my chicken, make sure it's hot, put it in there with bone broth, and then you can drink it, eat it with a spoon, put it in a bowl and eat it, whatever. But ultimately it sounds gross, but like, don't knock it till you try it. And again, it works for me.
Yeah. I mean, people have always joked, like, to people, I've never actually met someone or like talked to someone who's doing it, but people have joked about it. Yeah. Like, just throw it in a blender and drink it, whatever. Yeah. But like, I've never actually talked to somebody who's doing it.
Currently.
Okay. Now I'm really curious. You're piquing my interest. So like, what do you do for breakfast right now? Like, what does your breakfast look like?
So breakfast right now, it starts right at 8. And I'll throw 2 bags of oatmeal, a bunch of fruit, bananas, stuff like that. And then 2 25 grams of protein yogurts into a blender. I'll blend that and eat it right around 8 o'clock, just to kind of get my day kicked off. I'll sometimes add in a little beef and eggs around noon. I'll eat that. I enjoy the taste of that. Hot take again, those both together. And then lunch is about 12:30. I'll do a chicken breast I'll do a chicken and then rice. And then about 3, I'll do chicken and rice again. And then I'll go and train. I'll probably crush maybe one more oatmeal, maybe some carb powder. And then for dinner,
post workout,
this is going to the gym.
Okay.
I blend my oatmeal as well. So I'll throw 2 packs of oatmeal in there, a banana, some carb powder, and I'll probably drink that going to the gym. And then post gym, it's 2 chicken breasts, rice, and then yogurt for dessert. It's my way of dessert, 25 grams of protein yogurt. Sometimes I'll sprinkle a little, syrup in there to make it a little desserty. And that's a typical day of eating in the life of, and then as I'm at the gym, I'm snacking on Sour Patch Kids, just quick carbs, oatmeal. Yep. I've switched to pudding, a great source of carbs. I do sugar-free pudding, and it's been great.
Man, this is fantastic. Yeah. This is really interesting. Yeah, and so for people out there listening, real quick, because people will hear you mention like Sour Patch Kids, mm-hmm. and eating that, and they'll be like, wait a second. Because I remember the first time I heard of somebody eating like gummy bears in a workout.
Yeah.
Why are you eating candy? And it's very context dependent.
Totally.
Like if you're doing massive amounts of training, you're in the gym working out, and like you're trying to stay fueled to keep your energy up, like it's very necessary to get quick carbs in, and sometimes that looks like pieces of candy
yeah.
or like half of a Gatorade yep. or whatever. It's not like great for you by any means, but again, you look at it from, it's context dependent.
Yeah.
If you're not doing that, I would say don't eat candy, like stay away from that. So like this past weekend I had a competition, I was smashing pieces of candy before event 4 and I felt amazing going into it. It's like, it's just necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you said you're training for, I really want to get into this.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I'm super interested in you training for a HYROX event. So what does, number one, I want you to explain what HYROX is.
Okay.
Even for me, I'm still learning about it. But like, What is the event, and what does training for it look like right now?
Yeah, so the event is a longer, higher intensity, long event, right? So for those out there that don't know, it's going to be 8 runs of 1,000 meters. So you run an 8K essentially for the duration of the race. It starts off with a 1,000 meter run, and then it goes into a ski, 1,000 meter ski. You leave the ski, you run 1,000 meters again, then you go into 1,000 meters or a heavy sled push. 1,000 meter heavy sled pull, 1,000 meter burpee broad jump, 1,000 meter, then you get to a row, 1,000 meter row, then you run 1,000 meters again, 800 meter lunge with a ruck on your back, so 80 pound ruck, you're lunging for 80 meters, you leave that, you run again, and then it ends with wall balls, so 8 stations, I think that was all 8, so 8 stations, and then 8 runs in between the stations. Elite guys, Hunter McIntyre guys, are doing it 55 minutes, 54 minutes. My last race, I was at 109. And so for the average Joe, it's going to be an hour plus race. And so training for that, man, is intense. And it's long days. I don't know if we want to get into that now or if you have any questions about the event. And it's the same event each time. So if you sign up for a HYROX event, you are going to do the exact same workout. every single time, no matter if you're in London doing it, it started out super big internationally, or if you're in Chicago doing it, you're going to do the exact same event everywhere in the same distances.
Yeah. You know, so I like that and I don't like that. And I think we probably can agree on this. It's like, it's really great for standardizing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a track and field event or whatever. It's like everybody's going to run a 100-meter dash and your time doesn't lie.
Yep.
Like if you're fast in Alabama and you're fast in California, you're fast in
totally. Total.
And that's where I think it differs. It's better than CrossFit because like a lot of qualms about CrossFit in the past were like these semifinal events, these sanctional events. We'd have different events.
Yeah.
And so it was very hard. Like this guy would qualify over here, but the events really weren't that hard. And then this guy didn't qualify. They were incredibly hard. Yeah. And you're like, it's just not aligning.
Yeah.
The difference is, and you said this before we hopped on the podcast, CrossFit does a great job of testing more domains,
totally.
Like more complexity, more domains of fitness. And so you can argue that it's a more well-rounded athlete,
yeah.
right? As opposed to HYROX, but they're both incredible.
Yeah.
And so I guess what have you seen, like what has been, what are your thoughts on that? I'd love to hear just your thoughts on that.
I think CrossFit is I go to a CrossFit gym, I'll hop in the classes. I struggle with a heavy barbell. So like me doing a CrossFit competition isn't something that gets me excited because I'm more on the endurance side. But I think CrossFit's a better test, right? I think they get carried away sometimes with a dumb double under crossover jump ropes, right? Like that's silly. But CrossFit does a great job of, hey, we're going to test. We'll just use the games as an example, a max snatch rep, or we're going to do a heavy snatch ladder. And then we're going to do a 1 mile run, or then we're going to do, it's just more variety. This past year, take away whatever happened, right? I think this last year, they did a poor job of finding true fitness. I don't think you can find it in shorter workouts. You can find the athletes who put out a higher power for a short amount of time. I think endurance comes from, or if you're going to find the fittest person on the planet, it's both, right? Duration workouts where you have to pace yourself. It's going to be a 40-minute plus workout. Then you're going to have your short 10-minute WODs or whatever workouts. And I don't think they did a great job this year of doing a wide variety. I know everything was shrank down based off of what happened. But I think CrossFit can do a better job of throwing in the longer workouts because that's true fitness. But if you do a 10-minute, 12-cal bike into max muscle-ups or whatever, you're finding out the athletes who can put out the most power in that 12 minutes. Is that true fitness? No. But typically speaking, CrossFit does a great job of long-duration workouts, shorter-duration workouts, strength. And that is where you find true fitness in that. It's not longer workouts. You find endurance, not shorter workouts. You find power outage. It's the mix of both.
Yeah.
To where HYROX is on one end. I feel like for the most part, CrossFit does a great job of mixing in, hey, we're going to have a 45-minute grinder. We're going to have a 10-minute, hey, who can go, right? And so my love is watching and appreciating CrossFit as a true, we are going to determine fitness.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I would agree with that too. It's definitely the combination of the two, having the longer duration and the short bursts.
Yeah.
And training for that is very challenging, which is what I want to get into with you is training for a HYROX event. Like, what does that look like right now? Obviously, I know you're probably doing a lot of longer stuff. Like yesterday, you just said you did a long zone 2 yesterday.
Yeah.
Are you doing any interval work?
Yep.
You know, like some harder anaerobic type style stuff too?
Absolutely.
Okay, walk us through that.
So my coach, Daniel Sterling, if you guys want a great coach, Daniel Sterling's great. My coach is amazing. We have seasons, right? And so my race is in March. It's circled. And I've done a couple. I've done a couple the wrong way. I've done a couple with a coach. But right now we're in our base building where we're focusing on strength right now. Let's build the base of strength. And also longer duration workouts. And so a lot of times I'll walk in, I have everything on my phone and it's, hey, morning session is going to be a long zone 2 run. Afternoon's going to be weightlifting. And then maybe like yesterday was 2000 meter row, holding a 150 into 25 double unders into 50, wall balls and rest for 2 minutes, right? Where you're going, you have that rest, you're going. We'll have a track workout coming up in two days where I'm doing 400 meter repeats with a rest of 2 minutes. And so it's that sprint work. And so as we inch closer and closer, we're going to start doing more of simulation races, longer duration workouts where it's going to be an hour, 15 minute plus. And those are still in today, but right now where we are in the season, it's our base building. And my coach does a great job of walking me through why we are doing what we're doing now. Because for me, that's important. Like the why is important. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing a heavy squat? Why are we trying to do progressive overloads with front squats or whatever? And we're base building. As we trickle in closer to that March, we're going to do longer duration workouts to where, hey, you're going to have a 55-minute, 75-minute AMRAP, and you're just going to keep moving. And yeah, I had a workout last Thursday where my job on Thursdays is to just show up, get it done. It's just one workout on Thursdays, and it's always going to be longer. It was an hour and 10-minute workout. And then, again, we'll have the appropriate rest. But right now, this part of the season, with my race being so far out, it's called base building. So a lot of strength, a lot of going in there, progressive overloading, and just trying to build a big base, because that's so important. People get lost in this. I need to be performing for this long. I'm going to do that long of workouts. Like if I did an hour long workout every day, diminished returns, right? And so we're base building. Longer zone two runs are important. I can't stress how important zone two is, but it's full, man. I mean, I'm spending probably 5 hours a day in the gym. And a lot of people will hear that number. It's not all working out. Again, it's my social hour as well. I'll go up there, talk to classes, talk to coaches. But I'm in the gym for about 4 to 5 hours every day, building, taking a break, hitting a workout, doing some more build, and then accessory work. So it's long days, man. And it's lonely. I can be lonely. Like yesterday was 75-minute zone two run, and you just put in headphones. I had a monitor up, made sure I stayed in that zone two, and it was just, hey, there's a means to the end. And for me, I love the process. And I remember when I listened to a podcast with Lance Armstrong on it, and he thinks similar in the fact of like he would train all year for this Tour de France, and he didn't really enjoy the Tour de France when it was there. He just enjoyed training. So I remember last year when I finished High Rocks in New York, and I had trained for 7-8 months for this, and I finished, and I was like, this is it? This is it? Like, this is what I spent. It was, I just enjoy the everyday grind of the process. And I'm sure I'm going to have that feeling when I go to Houston and do this race of, this is what I trained for, but the fun is in the training. The fun is getting up, looking at my phone, seeing, this is what I have to do, let's get better. And the process of everything for me is enjoyable. And so that's what kind of a week of training looks like. And it will vary the closer we get to the race. But like I said, we're in the base building right now.
Yeah. Two things I want to hit on is what you just finished on, and then also periodizing. A lot of people, I struggle with this for a long time too. It's like, it really is like, there's something about being in the midst of the hard grind.
Totally.
You know, you're doing the work, you finish a workout and you're dying, and you're just like, there's just something fun about it. You're like, this is really like, it feels right.
Yeah.
Like it's just awesome. It doesn't mean every day is great.
Totally.
It's like there are a lot of days that are terrible and you feel awful and you don't want to do it. But like, there is something about that process that's borderline addicting, I would say, 100%. For some people.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you just love it. Cause I found myself in that boat where like, sometimes I'm like, I'm okay if I never compete. I just want to work out hard every single
day. Yeah.
Like there's something about that. But having a goal to shoot for really makes that training even more enjoyable.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to actually start to enjoy the process. But I want to hit on the periodization because I think people don't realize that either. It's like you can't just do – you could and it wouldn't work. Just train, like whatever the event is, like if you just did that event every single day thinking you'd get better at it, like you don't actually get better at it. In fact, you'd probably get worse.
Yeah.
And so it was the same thing at CrossFit. Like when I first started, all I wanted to do is Metcons all the time. Like I'm just gonna do Metcons.
Yeah.
And then I realized slowly over the years, it's like for a large portion of the year, it's just like strength work. It's low intensity conditioning and it's a lot of accessory work.
Yeah.
It's really not many like like CrossFit marathons totally. Until the season rolls around.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's exactly what it is for you.
Yeah, 100%. And we'll take Murph. Everybody understands Murph, or if you don't, I apologize. But if you just did Murph every day to get better at Murph, like you said, you're not going to get better, right? You need to go in and build the strength. So when the push-ups get there, you're better at push-ups, right? Where you're isolating, let's just work on push-ups. And so the other day, one of the things I didn't say, you end the High Rocks event after your last run with 100 wall balls. And so yeah, the other day we did a test for 150 wall balls for time, right? If I did that every single day, I'm not going to get better at wall balls, but it's been cool to see we're doing a progressive overload with squats and strength to see my time from when I first did the 150 wall balls back in May to we did it last week. There's progression, and we didn't touch that workout for 6 months, 5 months, right? But there was this, hey, we're going to get better at squatting. We are going to do lunges. We are going to do things to get better at wall balls. We might throw in a heavier wall ball in a wad every so often, but it's been cool to see the training work out. And like you said, there's a period for everything. Like if you think about Olympic athletes, they are not in Olympic form 4 years, 365 days a year. They have I'm peaking for the Paris 2024 Olympics, and it's ups, downs. Hey, we're going to peak here. Then we're going to have deload. Deloads are important. You don't lose those, but it gives your body a time to reset. You cannot stay in Olympic form year, day after day, year after year for 4 years, right? There's seasons for everything. And that's how I've kind of thought about it. And for me, I alluded to this at the beginning, but the big picture mentality of, let's just say, a wall. If I was building a wall, it's so daunting to look at, hey, I have to build this entire wall. If you look at it brick by brick, hey, I'm going to lay one brick a day as perfect as I can lay a brick. It doesn't have to be perfectly laid, but as I perfectly can for that day. Like every day is not going to be 100%. There's a workout I texted my coach and be like, hey, my time sucked today. I just didn't have it. That's okay. I gave 100. I laid that brick, and eventually you'll have that wall. But people, whether it's weight loss or whatever you're trying to do, they get daunted with this task of look how big this is. Right? Instead of breaking it down, and you know this as an athlete, finding joy in the monotony of your grind and laying just one brick. That's all I'm trying to do today on October 2nd, lay one brick today. And hopefully by March, I can stand back and say, man, we have a wall today. Like, hey, we're going to do really well in this race because I know each day I laid my brick as perfectly as I could have laid it that day.
Yeah, dude, that's so good, man. I made a post about that recently saying that sometimes that's the win.
Yeah.
Like even if it's a terrible workout, like if you go in there, you do it, you lay the brick as best as you can do for that day. You won that day.
You won the day.
It might not be your best performance, but you won that day. And now you move forward. Like it's I love that you said that, man. That's huge. So you guys are doing a lot of strength training right now too. So I guess for whatever reason I had in my mind, which is really silly on my part, that you wouldn't be doing like front squats, back squats, whatever, but you 100% are. What does that strength training look like?
So again, base loading is making sure that my base is good and making sure that, hey, we're hitting strict press. We're doing 80%, 90%. Then we'll back down to 75% for higher amount of reps of strict press, front squat, back squats, deadlifts, Romanian deadlifts, and then Bulgarian split squats are the ones we're focusing on now. For CrossFit, you would be looking at snatch and clean and jerk. You do those progressions. These ultimately lead directly to workouts in High Rocks. And so those are our strength portions. And then we're fine. And my coach does an amazing job of find a heavy for the day. And then we're going to go 80% off of that heavy. And so it's not a, like yesterday was find a heavy five rep, not max, but five rep for the day. It was whatever, 195. And then we're going to do 80% and we're getting to our set works of that. We're going to do 80% of 195, five sets, right? And so he does a great job. Sometimes he'll have numbers up there like, hey, 245 back squat, six sets of four. But a lot of times it's find a heavy for the day. Let's figure out what your heavy for that day is, like we were just talking about. And then we'll get into sets. And so those are some of the strength building we'll do. And we'll obviously have accessory work where you'll hop on and do 30 GHDs unbroken, 5 med ball slams, bodyweight lunges, a little bit of accessories in there, and then obviously stretching modality and recovering. are just equally as important that we haven't touched on, but equally as important.
Yeah, yeah. Are you doing any like traditional CrossFit style Metcon style, or is everything sort of, everything's geared towards just high rock?
So I made a deal with my coach where, again, I love the gym, I love my class, I'm a steady Eddie at the 5:30, to where I have, like, for me to like loving to compete, I have to do a CrossFit. I want to do it with my class. And so once, maybe three times a week, I'll do a CrossFit class where I get to be in there with the 5:30, get to do whatever's on the board with my class. And that's just a good way for me to, like, I'm such a competitor, right? Like 3, 2, 1, go. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to go look at the times on the board or on the WOD, on the app. I'm going to beat that time. And because training by yourself is good, but it's always great to have other people. And a lot of my training is isolated, that I'm doing a lot of things by myself because no one else is in the gym doing it. It's good for me to hop into a class, do a CrossFit style workout, which again, I still love CrossFit. And again, you have that 3, 2, 1, I'm competing. Once it's done, we're all laying on the ground. Hey, great job. I love you. Great job. So I have made sure that in my programming we have, and he'll look at the class WODs for the week and he'll make sure that I do the one that is going to have the most returns for what I'm trying to do. Obviously, yeah. Is it a 1-to-1 ratio? No. But that is that I do, again, I will always do CrossFit.
I think that's good that you do, man, for sure. So right now I had this question as you were talking about high rocks and everything, like, and you were saying that you still love CrossFit. Do you think you'll ever train to like try to make a, you know, quarter?
No, absolutely not. I'm in all of those guys. I'm in all of what you were able to accomplish. I'm in all of what the guys are doing now. We have a couple guys in my gym training for semifinals, big games, and it's cool watching them. I just have no interest in trying to get a heavier snatch. Or I love doing partner workouts. Like, I have a Fittest of the Coast coming up here in South Carolina. I'll do that with a partner. Yeah. And that's part of my training where, hey, I want to use fitness for things I also want to use it for, not just high rock specifically. And there's this CrossFit comp that you have to qualify for. I have a great partner. And we have that circled. We have that circled in our training plan that, hey, I will do these qualifying workouts. And if we qualify for the event, that week is going to be spent in Charleston competing. So I love the competing, and you get to pick divisions. But any interest in competing for semifinals? Absolutely not, brother. Those dudes are different beasts, man.
Yeah, that sport really, it comes down to not only strength, because there's a lot of people that are like brute strong.
Yeah.
And you can build up a front squat, back squat, whatever. It's the technicality of the Olympic stuff, but then also you have to build up such a resiliency.
Totally.
Like, your joints have to be able to handle such a crazy amount of volume on your shoulders, your low back, joints, high, like, it's really taxing.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's really not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, it's for, even for the competitors, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, people, like, they like it, enjoy it, and are crazy enough to want to try and do it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, yeah, it's cool. I mean, I'm going to try and do it again this year.
Yeah.
It's probably really stupid, but I'm going to try and do it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Focus on so much, too. Like, you can be strong enough to do a bar muscle up, but to do it for reps. And to, again, that's you have to focus on the gymnastics, but you have to focus on so much for CrossFit. And we talked about Hunter McIntyre, who is, again, has the world record for Merv, has won high rock several years in a row. I remember a couple of years ago, he jumped in and said, hey, I'm the fittest endurance athlete. I can win CrossFit games. CrossFit gave him an invitation. Joker finished like second to last, right? And he is this king of fitness. And it just humbles you to see, like, man, CrossFitters, like, you have to be good at so much, great at so much, versus, I can do bar muscle ups, but can you do it the right way? Can you do it for high volume of reps? Hey, I can do whatever gymnastic wise, but can you do it for reps, for volume? So good luck to you as you compete. Like you said, you are crazy, but I do appreciate, because I know what a 165 snatch feels like. Couldn't imagine what a 245 snatch feels like, right? And so I can appreciate what goes into it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think, or have you heard of there being PEDs in high rocks?
man, we had this debate the other day at the gym. I like to think that the honesty of the sport, the integrity of the sport, and it goes into CrossFit as well. I like to think the games athletes aren't. Realistically, are there, right? I, again, go back to Lance. I was so gung-ho. He is not juicing. He is not using blood enhancers. He was, right? I think just naive, and I want the purity of the sport to be honorable. Realistically, and are there realistically game athletes using it? Sure. My hope and what I want to believe is that they're not, right? Like, these guys are putting in the work and they're studs. Yeah, probably. Most likely. Most likely.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of games athletes and other athletes who aren't even games competitors that are definitely doing
that. Yeah.
And I was a lot like you when I first started. The purity of the sport. Like, oh, these guys are just, they're just training harder. Yeah. They're just eating better. And it's maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
But they're probably doing something. It's a little discouraging, but it's also one of those things where it's like, well, can't control it, and I'm just gonna do my absolute best. You know what's funny about Hunter though? Hunter actually worked with TTT for a little bit. Yeah, so he worked with Max, my old coach, and he was actually gonna try to train. I think it was either after that when he got second to last or whatever at the games. I think then he started training. He was gonna come back. And for whatever reason, I don't know the story. I didn't talk to Max about it, but they did it for a little while, and then he was kind of over it, and I guess wanted to go do
whatever else.
Yeah, Hunter's he's a fantastic athlete.
Oh my god, fantastic person, not so much. Fantastic athlete, unbelievable. He's a hard person to cheer for, but I'm just in awe of the guy. I love watching his videos. He's a tough listen if you watch or listen to any of his podcasts, because he knows he's good, but he's a phenomenal athlete, and I respect him so much.
Yeah, I've never seen him at a few events. He came off really nice, but I don't really follow any of his stuff, so I don't know.
Okay, well, good luck.
I'm gonna have to dive into this podcast and listen.
There was a High Rocks race when he was running one time. There was a guy that had been chirping at him, and he flicks him off as he's running past him, and it's like, come on, dude. Like, you know, whatever. And there's just been things he's said, and I follow him pretty closely just because we align in a lot of our training. It's a tough listen, but he's a stud competitor for sure.
Yeah. What's his thing? Bulk Pony.
Yeah, and he's now the biceps win bulk races, and the sheriff, and he's got a ton of hashtags now, and he calls himself the sheriff. So whatever.
I mean, I'll give him credit though. I mean, he does a good job marketing himself.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
That's great. So tell me this: how are you balancing all of this training amidst work? Because I know a lot of people out there listening are going to be like, "Okay, how? Like, this sounds awesome. I'd love to try, but it sounds impossible with work and life and things."
Yeah.
So what does it look like for you? Are you in a unique situation where you have the time, or is it really challenging to get all this training in?
There's seasons, right? I think for me, I travel a lot. I'm on an airplane. I travel probably 60% of my job. And one of the biggest things, nutrition travels, right? You can always find nutrition. We're at whatever state you're in, you can find nutrition. Getting into a gym and training, those are, you have to prioritize a lot, discipline. To where there was a time where I landed, I was supposed to be back in Greenville at 8 p.m., delays. I didn't land until 1:30, and I knew I had other stuff to do. I went and did it, and I knew, hey, might not get my 8 hours of sleep that I need, but for this day, there's stuff I need to do. So every day is not perfect. Every day is not this cookie cutter. When I am home and working remotely, it's still a typical 9 to 5, where if I need, my sessions are going to be long. I might have to do something in the morning, might have to do something at lunch, but every day it's tricky, right? And it just comes down to discipline and making sure I'll look at my week. I'll look at my workouts for the week, and hey, I might have to wake up a little earlier on Wednesday and do this. Or I know I'm traveling and I'll be in the airport for 8 hours on Thursday. I'll have to hop on a workout before the flight, after the flight, whatever. And then you miss some days, and I just message my coach and say, hey, it just didn't happen today. Let's push this. My recoveries are mostly on Sunday. Hey, I'll take today as a recovery. We're going to push a couple workouts till Sunday. We'll flip flop. And so people with job, like, yeah, it is doable. you do have to make sacrifices. I can't speak on having a kid. I know that throws a whole nother wrench in it for the families that do have a kid. I know you also have a kid, and that looks different for everybody. But I know if you set your mind to it and say, hey, I am going, this is going to get done, it will get done, right? 90% of the time, obviously life happens, car breaks down, delays at an airport, kid gets sick, whatever. But for 90% of it, if you say, hey, this is a priority in my life, it will get done, right? And yeah, that for me is where I am, right? I'm single, so it's a lot easier. I don't have a family to worry about. And I can devote the time, but if you don't have that time, you can always make time, right? You can always devote that time. So every day is not perfect, but just find time for what matters.
Yeah, well, I think it's really good that we talk about that, because I'll speak for myself. Like, it's very challenging when I hear someone talk about like all the things they're doing and accomplishing, and then trying to picture it for your life. And it's just your life oftentimes looks so much totally different than their life.
Totally.
And so it'll be really easy for people to listen to you and hear all this and be like, well, that's what my life should look like if I want to do that. And it's like context
dependent. Yeah,
like
what, totally.
You got to make it work for
absolutely
you. One piece of advice that I want to say for anybody listening, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on, is when it comes to managing that time and whatever time you have to start training, you want to do the highest leverage thing that's going to make the most bang for your buck. So maybe you can speak on that a little bit, like days where you're really strapped for time and you can only get a certain thing in or whatever. Like, do you prioritize your list of items where it's like, if you can only pick one thing for one day because you're super busy, I do this thing. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. A perfect example is 2 days ago, Greenville got hit by the storm. Praying for all the families affected by Helena. We lost power at the gym, and so we were open from 12 to 2, right? And for me, I could not make that work in my schedule. Texted my coach and said, hey, what do – because a lot of what I do need a gym. I need rowers, skiers, whatever. What can I do today, right? And it was, hey – go find some dumbbells, whatever. And then we're going to prioritize this, or we're going to have a bike. And so I was able to hit a bike run, whatever. And so, like you said, we're going to prioritize the most important thing for that day. And yeah, I wasn't able to maybe hit a heavy back squat that day, but that's okay. That's life. Life is going to always happen. So yeah, this happened 2 days ago, and we prioritized what I could get my hands on, what I had time for, and that's okay. Could I have made the 12 to 2 open gym work because we don't have power? Maybe, but I have a job. I have things I have to do. I couldn't. And so we alternated the plan. We pushed some things again to later in the week. And it's life. And again, I'm speaking context. I have a coach that helps me with this. Same thing for those that don't have a coach. Prioritizing what you feel like is important for that day. Hey, I can't get this water. Go walk for 10 minutes. If you have 10 minutes, go walk for 10 minutes, or go whatever it is, just prioritizing what's going to help you get to your goal, closer for that day to your goal.
Yeah. And that's something that's huge for people to realize, man. It's one, prioritize doing something, try to pick the most important thing if you can, like if you have access to it or whatever. But then just be consistent.
Yeah, consistency.
Like, if you're consistent over time, like if you look at someone who does that, who just maximizes every opportunity to make the most that they possibly can when they have a lot of time and they have a little time, and you aggregate that over 10 years, like they're going to be so far ahead of someone who just A, didn't do it, or B, was like, well, I can't get to it today, I'll just skip it. It's like you just do something. Yeah. You do something every single day. You get so far that. Not every day. Like you said before, just lay a brick.
Yeah.
Whatever your brick is today, just go absolutely. Like, it's 25 air squats, you did 25 air squats.
Exactly. And we use the same at my gym, or I use it in my life, progress, not perfection, right? And very few days are you going to get things that align to perfection. I slept 9 hours. I ate everything I needed to eat. I didn't have a stressful day at work. Those are little one-off days, progress, not perfection, right? Very few times in your life where everything is going to align for that day. And it's just making sure that, like you said, we're making progress. And it's so easy to say, that'll get done tomorrow. Another quote is, yesterday you said tomorrow, right? Yesterday you said tomorrow. And so just getting it done, progress, not perfection, of working towards whatever that goal is in your life. And I think, again, for those out there, I think it's cool to have a goal. Fitness is great, but have something on the calendar circled, right? Whether it's a competition with a friend, a 5K race in your neighborhood, whatever that is, to have something circled. And then it makes the day-to-day a lot easier. It makes it harder for you to miss it because you're now one day closer to that event. And so we go back to when I was doing two workouts a day and I just wanted to be fitter. That was cool. But again, that wasn't longevity. For me, longevity is having something on the calendar and working backwards. And my plan for the rest of my life is to have something on the calendar, whether it's a 10K with my kids one day, whether it's iron, whatever it is, to always have something on the calendar that say, hey, today matters because we're going to be one day closer to that event.
Dude, that's so good, man. I absolutely love that you hit on that. Okay, so we're right at 12 o'clock. We'll go ahead. We'll wrap it up. Dude. Really, I want to say this. I I'm not being corny or gassing you up or anything. I want to say, like, I'm very, very proud of you. I feel weird saying that because we're like the same age.
Yeah.
But, like, seriously, I'm very proud of you because I know you, like I said, from before you were doing a lot of this, man. And I know you as, like, goofy Miss Dancing, right? Like, just talking trash. Like, when we went on the cruise and I did it back, I almost got arrested. Like, the whole thing, dude. Like, I remember all that, man. But you've clearly stepped into something that you're really happy about. You really enjoy. You're taking care of yourself, and it's really awesome, man. And you're offering up a lot of really good pointers and tips for people out there, man. So you're doing great. Seriously, you're doing awesome, man.
No, I appreciate it.
For those of you out there listening, thank you for tuning in. If you want to find, where can people find you on social media if they want to find you?
Instagram, JRaymond13. And again, reach out if you ever have any questions. I'm not perfect. I'm not by any means a perfect in this world, but I like getting better and I like helping people.
Yeah, man. Well, we're going to look for you at Worlds, bro. I really hope that you
fingers crossed.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Hopefully I'll see you at an event. We can compete against
you. Really cool. I'll be in the intermediate level for CrossFit. You'll be in the RX level, but I'll cheer you on.
No, I'm saying a high rock. Okay. I want to go to a high rock and just get my Johnson kicked in.
Come on, brother.
All right, you guys, thank you for tuning in. If you ever need anything, reach out to both of us. But as always, keep moving forward.
Absolutely.
Love you guys. I'll hit pause on here.